starting week two of our Malachi series, and we're going to focus today on Malachi chapter 2. You can turn there if you wish, but for the sake of time, we're not going to have time to read the whole chapter, but I guarantee you, if you take a few minutes during your day, during your week, it'll take you 20 minutes tops to read it. There's some great apps that you can load up and you can listen to it. There's more than one way to learn. So make sure you take an opportunity to do that. But what we learned in Malachi is that Malachi can be very challenging. It's a challenging book. Malachi was a very challenging prophet, and he's going to challenge us and make us uncomfortable with a few things in terms of what our worship looks like. What are the things that God asks of us in worship and in response? And so we're going to look at some of those things. Jack Canfield was an author and public speaker, and he wrote a very popular book called The Success Principles. And when he goes and does seminars and conferences about this book, in everybody's workbook that they receive, in the back there's an agreement that Jack has everybody sign this agreement that they'd agree to 15 guidelines and rules that they would follow during this seminar that would hold everybody accountable. Some of those things are simple, like after every break, you'd find a different seat to sit in. For some of you, that's anxiety right there, right? The other rule is no alcoholic beverages until the conference is over. Other things is you will be on time. And there's several other little guidelines, and they had everybody sign this little covenant, and in no big deal, right? But at the end of the 3-day seminar, Jack would ask this question. He says, if you have broken any one of these agreements, would you please stand? Now, what he would find is he said it this way. What becomes apparent is how casually we give our word and then how casually we break it. Because what you find is several of them, the majority of people, would stand. Now, kudos for them for their integrity and honesty of saying, yep, I broke it, I didn't care about it. But I think that honoring our commitments is a part of our character. It identifies who we are and what we are about. And it enhances our relationships, it enhances our productivity, and it does a lot. If we don't honor our commitments, it tarnishes us. It tarnishes our image, it tarnishes that relationship that we have with other people, but it also tarnishes that relationship with God when we're not honoring the commitments that we have there. So we, by honoring that, we set a really strong foundation to accomplish the things we want and allow God to accomplish the things in our lives that he wants to accomplish. There's a saying that goes something like this. Stress is what happens when your gut says no, but your mouth says, sure, I'd be happy to. Right? There is something, as much as we can, as we really do, we should think, can I really honor this commitment? And honoring your commitment is not just showing up. It's not just an appearance, making an appearance like, yep, I'm here, what else do you need? It's engaging, it's being part of the process, it's being fully active in whatever the thing is, and honoring those commitments in all aspects of life. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we honoring our commitments? Are we honoring our commitments at our job, at our school, for our sports team, for our family, with our friends? Do we honor our commitment that we made to God? If you're a follower of Jesus, if you said yes to Jesus, you made a commitment to him, are you honoring that commitment? And again, we're not gonna read the whole all of chapter 2, but I want to encourage you to do that for what it's worth for me. The week, whatever chapter we're in, I read that chapter every single morning leading up to that week. And it doesn't take long. So I'd encourage you to take some time to do that. But at this point, leading up to this point, we understood that the priests had led the people to a certain place in their worship and understanding. And it was in a place where it said, God, we're not going to give you our best. We're going to give you less than our best. Not even just less than our best. We're going to give you the worst. But we're fulfilling an obligation. Okay, that's what we talked about last week. So they failed to keep the covenant they made with God by offering their first to God. And we understood that the sacred things became very common. The sacredness of God, the holiness of God, became very commonplace to the people, and they didn't honor their commitments. So Malachi, he tends to be the guy or gal that just, they say it. right? They're saying what everybody wants to say, but can't, right? And that's Malachi, and that's why Malachi becomes very, very challenging, because he calls us back to a place of honoring our commitment we made to God. He says, you've become apathetic, you become lazy, you become disingenuous with the living Almighty God. And so he's going to call us back to honoring that commitment. And there's a few things that happen when we don't honor our commitments, right? We see it play out in our real life, we see it play out in our faith when we don't honor our commitments. And what are some of those outcomes? I think there's a few outcomes, right? The first thing in honoring our commitments is we have a responsibility, right? We have a responsibility to respond in obedience to that commitment. There is a responsibility in that. See, God desires for us to listen and to obey, believe it or not. To listen and to obey. For those of us who have accepted Jesus, it's not just simply because we got to follow the rules. That's not what it is. Because we have made a commitment to honor God. And it's more than just a rule following. It's that deeply connected relationship with God. Malachi chapter 2, verse 2 says it like this. Listen, you priests, this command is for you. Listen to me and make up your mind to honor my name, says the Lord of heaven's army. Make up your mind. Listen, right? See, it's one thing to actually believe something is true. It's another thing to actually live it out. We can say a lot of things are true. We can say we believe something is true. Yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. But do we live out what that actually means? See, James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 22, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. It doesn't say you're fooling other people. It's you're fooling yourself. If you are committed to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I follow you, there are things that God is asking for us. In the Old Testament, young Samuel was spoken to in the middle of the night. Samuel, Samuel. And he responds, he gives us a beautiful picture on how we can respond to God. And Samuel says, speak, for your servant is listening. Are we asking and are we responding as, okay, yes, I'm listening. I'm listening. And I'm going to obey. Can we say that? Are we listening to God? Are we honoring our commitment and being responsible to him? And there's a simple litmus test, I think, that can identify whether we're actually fulfilling that commitment. And if we're honoring him, what does it look like? What does it mean to live what we believe? If we say we believe something, if we believe in Jesus, we believe in God, and he has changed our lives, what does it mean to live that way? The first way is simple. It's simple in word, but it's to revere God. To revere God. Many of us, if we're honest, we kind of play games with God. We kind of have this idea that God really, he'll be available when we need him, right? He's like Netflix. He's on demand, right? That's how we treat God, but that's not reverence. We need to revere God. Last week we read and looked at the fact that there's a point where God didn't accept the people's offering. God didn't accept the sacrifice they made because it was worthless. They didn't revere or give any attention to God at all. Revering the Lord Almighty leads us to honoring our commitment we made to him. Next, we're going to be ready to receive the truth. We need to receive, and we got to speak truth. See, here's the deal. God's word has the ability to penetrate our hearts. And for some of us, we're like, yeah, I just don't experience, I don't feel it, I don't understand it. But I can guarantee you, it has the power to penetrate our hearts if we will allow it to. If we will take the time and give to hearing the truth, to receiving the truth. See, a failure to teach it, a failure to receive the truth, all of a sudden makes it a distorted truth. We start to distort the truths of God. We distort what Scripture says. We distort what he really wants for us. And that's what the people were doing. Next thing is, there's a righteous living. Righteous living. To walk in a manner that's worthy and upright of God. Now, this is not perfection. You cannot attain perfection, contrary to what you may think. You cannot attain perfection. But the truth is, when you say, Jesus, I follow you, I'm going to commit to you, that the Holy Spirit comes and changes our lives, and we can walk in a different way that's set apart. God says you are a holy priesthood set apart. Wow. You are set apart. We are supposed to be different. That's the absolute beauty of grace, because Romans 9 tells us that no one is righteous simply by following a bunch of rules. You can go to church, you can sing the songs, you can even do your daily readings every single day. You can even do a bunch of prayers. But it's not that all of that is going to save you. It is the grace of God that is going to save you. And all of those things will deepen that connection and that commitment you made to Him. And even in that grace, even in that humility, we are going to strive for a righteous living, for a lifestyle that reflects God to a world. The next way is we're going to represent God to others. By having that righteous living, we become a representation. Do you know that? Again, the priests represented God to the people, and they messed it up. We mess it up, and we understand that. But did you know that, like I said earlier, we are a kingdom of priests? You say, no, I'm not a priest. I'm not a pastor. I can't care for somebody the way you can. I guarantee you, many of you can. But you are a kingdom of priests. If you call on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible calls you a kingdom of priests. We are to represent to the world around us the love and grace and mercy to this fallen world. He uses us, He uses you and me to help guide people into a loving relationship with Him. So we're to revere God, we're going to receive the truth, we're going to live righteously, or distinctly, maybe that's a better way to say it, distinctly as God's people, and we're going to represent Him to our world. Okay? So the first part of honoring our commitments to God is found in responsibility. The second way, there's a warning to us. And the warning is, we need to recognize the downside. See, there's a downside of not honoring the commitment, and we need to recognize that. We're going to recognize the downside. Again, Malachi doesn't sugarcoat anything. He just goes right at it, and he reminds us, look, if you fail to honor your commitment to God, God is not going to accept your sacrifice. We saw it last week. If you fail to honor that commitment to God, He won't honor your sacrifice. Look what it says starting in verse 13. Here's another thing you do. You cover the Lord's altar with tears, weeping and groaning because He pays no attention to your offerings and doesn't accept them with pleasure. You cry out, why doesn't the Lord accept my worship? See, at the heart is the command center of our lives. It guides the things we say, it guides the things we do, it guides our relationships, it guides our interactions. It's the command center and determines the direction of our lives. And we are to determine to honor our commitments and keep our promises. And the warning is clear that if we fail to honor our commitments, it's going to damage that relationship that we have made. Not only with God, it's going to damage our interpersonal relationships. When we don't honor our commitments just in our lives, we don't honor it with our kids, we don't honor it with our parents, we don't honor it with our teachers, our coworkers. It damages those relationships. It damages our character. Another reason. The reason behind honoring our commitments is we're going to remember the benefits. If we can honor our commitments, there are benefits. And sometimes we forget that, because we get so focused and caught up in, like, well, I just don't want to. Or I don't like that person. Or I don't want to go to do that thing. And we forget that there are benefits. But when we think about our commitment to God, we say, yeah, I don't really feel like praying. I don't feel like talking to somebody about Jesus. I don't feel this. Right? And we forget the benefits of what it means to follow God. Malachi gave us a couple. It says this in verse 5. The purpose of my covenant with the Levites was to bring life and peace, and that is what I gave them. This required reverence from them, and they greatly revered me and stood in awe of my name. Life and peace. Those are the two things that we still look for over and over and over. In a crazy world, we just want peace, right? We all want a full life. We want something to make us feel powerful or worthy or useful, right? Life and peace, those things haven't changed. And God says, I have given it to them. I have given them life and peace when they honored their commitment to me. See, they make a predictable thing. When they would follow through and they're going to be true to their word and they're going to honor their commitments, God showed up. And you take a hand in creating your own future. You take a hand in partnering with the hand of God and creating your future when you honor your commitments. And that's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. It develops those relationships and allows you to live for this world and for God in this world by honoring your commitments and reflect Him. But we don't always get it right. Again, we're not going to be perfect in this. We're not going to be perfect in anything. We're not always going to get this right. So that creates a failure. There is a failure, and that failure is resorting to unfaithfulness. Now, let me be clear, and I've said this a few times. Because you fail at something does not make you a failure. Okay? They're different things. We will fail at doing stuff. That does not mean you are a failure. Okay? Hear that. See, the priests failed in their responsibility to show the people and teach the people God's law. And the people then in turn failed to revere God. You see how it goes? So we embrace the truth and we live distinctly from the non-believers. And five times in this passage, Malachi calls it the faithless, that they were faithless. Some translations call it the breaking faith or deal treacherously. It means they didn't honor their commitments. They didn't hold up their end of the bargain. They didn't keep their promise. It's this idea of pillaging something. It's pillaging something that's to remain protected. It's closely tied to this idea of a covenant. A covenant was meant to be a mutually binding agreement. But the deal with the covenant is if one party broke the covenant, if one party broke their commitment, the other party no longer had to hold up their end of the bargain. Okay, so if the people broke their covenant with God, God was no longer obligated to uphold his end of the agreement. He says, I don't have to, but God's grace and his mercy are there. See, the men, if you read this chapter, the men had violated their agreement, their commitment with their wives, and violated their agreement and covenant with God. But they did that because it was a repercussion of a bigger issue. Their bigger issue starts in verse 8. It says, but you priests have left God's paths. Your instructions have caused many to stumble into sin. You have corrupted the covenant I made with the Levites, says the Lord of Heaven's army. It starts because they didn't even teach the truth. They didn't receive the truth. They felt their worship was good enough. They felt their worship will just give them the best. So they respond in a way that they no longer revered God. They no longer revered the covenant. They no longer revered the agreement that they had and that commitment they made. That word corrupted means to damage something and make it utterly useless. Utterly useless. How many marriages and relationships, friendships, coworkers, any of that stuff have been absolutely destroyed because somebody failed to honor a commitment? Over and over. So we need to do something about this. How can we do this? And this is the point where we're all getting really excited, right? We need to take action. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take some action, and we're going to erect some boundaries. We're going to erect some boundaries, and it's for our personal lives, it's for our work lives, our family lives, our school lives, and it's going to be erect some boundaries in our faith as well. Because it's about the heart, right? The heart is the command center. Here's what we're understanding. Malachi provided the boundary. And you're going to get sick of me saying this in verses 15 and 16, because all he says is, guard your heart. Verses 15 and 16, guard your heart. That's it. It sounds simple, and we've talked a lot about that, but some translations say, watch yourself, right? It means to create the safeguard. It means to create some protections in your lives. Now, I maybe I'm weird, but I like some kind of like parameters. I kind of like guidelines. Like, tell me where I can work. Tell me where I can function. It gives me freedom. So if I'm driving up a mountain road, I like guardrails on the side so I don't fall off the side. I like that. One of the scariest places I've been in a car is South America or Italy, because they don't have lines on the road and they just drive like crazy. I like lines on the road, right? You stay on your side, I'll stay in mine, we'll all be happy. Stop signs are good, right? I like guidelines, I like barriers, they help control and move things along. So it's not a matter of just telling you what you can't do, it's there for my protection so I don't get sideswiped or I don't fall off a cliff. And so let me give you some guidelines, let me give you some boundaries that I think don't only apply to our relationships with our coworkers, our teachers, our friends, our everything. It also applies to our relationship with God and how we do this. So here's some guardrails. Here's some guidelines. The first one is that I alone am responsible for my life. Okay? I'm not going to blame anybody else for the decisions I make. I'm not going to rationalize or pass blame onto other things. I'm not going to excuse my failure to honor a commitment onto somebody else. I'm going to own my stuff. It's my life. It's not my kids' life. It's not my parents' life. It's not my teacher's life. It's not my boss's life. This is my life. So the first one is just I'm going to be responsible for my own life and my own commitments. The second way, this one's going to hurt some of you. Did you know it's okay to say no? Some of you don't understand that word. It's not a long one. It's not hard. As a parent, you become really good with it. But applying it to everyday life is another story. It is okay to say no, because at some point, you can only take on so many things, right? It's really okay, because the world will continue on if you say no. Do you realize that? Other people's lives will go on. Sure, the Titanic still sunk, but lives will go on. Another way, you only make commitments you intend to keep. And this goes back to that story we talked about in that seminar, in that conference. We make commitments so easily, and we throw them away and discard them so easily. And do we make commitments that we are not interested in keeping? Yeah, sure, I'll do that. But really, I don't want to be there. It won't be any benefit. In fact, it'll sacrifice my time away from something much, much better. There are many things in our life that we need to sacrifice the good things in this world for the God things in this world. And we need to figure out and understand how to differentiate those. Because there's a lot of really good things in our lives. There's a lot of really good things we could be doing. But can we sacrifice those for the great God things he has planned? Because sometimes you won't even be able to understand it. You won't even be able to recognize it. See, in you'll see it in Moses. Moses had this problem. He had this problem in Exodus that he was overwhelmed with all of this stuff. And he had so many commitments. Everybody was chomping for his time. Moses, do this. Moses, do that. Moses, can I have this? Moses. Right? Everybody was chomping for his time. And his father-in-law saw this. His father-in-law Jethro saw it and says, Moses, let me help you. Let me help you get this stuff in order. See, part of honoring the commitments and only the ones you can keep sometimes is asking for help. Sometimes it's bringing other people into it. When we honor our commitment to God, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to say, I'm really struggling. I'm hurting. I'm in a bad place. Or, hey, come celebrate with me. It's okay to bring others in. Another guardrail. I will clear up any broken agreement as soon as possible. Look, we made a commitment, we did something, and it's for some reason it fell apart. I'm going to clear it up. It's going to taste some sour humble pie, I'm going to tell you. And we are going to be really, really tempted just to ignore it. It'll go away. I mean, right? They just go away. I'll just let it go. It'll work itself out. But I want to encourage you, the moment you understand or saw or feel or recognize that a commitment was broken, go clear it up. Because that pie is going to be bitter at first, but after you figure it out and you get that taken care of, it's going to be a lot sweeter, right? And that's what God calls for repentance in our faith. another guardrail. I will follow through the commitments I've made. A lot of us have made commitments, and we know they're a great commitment. There are things that we have to do. But frankly, I don't like the people involved. I don't want to do the thing that it is. I'm tired. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to do this. I'd rather be doing that. And we just don't want to. I understand. We have commitments. That's called growing up. Sorry. But there are things that we need to honor the commitments we made. When we have a God who honors his commitment to us, he honors his promise to us. He honors the things that he has promised to us, and he asks that we give back. It's when we represent God, God is faithful. God is loyal, and he's filled with mercy. There's a great little book called A Promise Kept, and in there tells a story about a man named Robertson McQuillan. He was a former missionary and seminary president, and he resigned from the position to care for his wife, and his wife was really struggling with Alzheimer's. And so he resigned his position to care for her full time. And they did a lot of traveling to try and keep some of that stuff engaged, and there was a time where they were in an airport and the flight got delayed, and as he writes, traveling with her, he says, "Now that's a challenge. Every few minutes, we'd take a fast-paced walk down the terminal in earnest search of who knows what. Muriel had always been a speed walker. I had to jog to keep up with her. A woman dressed professionally sat across from us, working diligently on her computer. When we returned from the excursion, she said something without looking up from her papers. Since no one else was nearby, I assumed she had spoken to me, or at least mumbled in protest for our constant activity. 'Pardon,' I asked. 'Oh,' she said, 'I was just thinking to myself, will I ever find a man to love me like that?' McQuillan turned to the woman and said, 'Oh, yes, you can find a man like that. You can find a man like that because I found a man like that. The only reason I love my wife the way you see me loving her is because the man Jesus first loved me. The only resources I have to draw upon to love my wife the way I do are the resources he gives me. Mirrored in my relationship here with my wife, you can see the faithful love of God for me.'" See, when we honor our commitments to others, but more importantly to God, we're going to be a reflection of God living inside of us. We're going to be a reflection of God to this world, and we're going to revere his name to the world around us, to our family, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our spouses, to our kids, to our parents, to our coaches. What commitments do we need to see through? What commitments do we need to call and reconcile and make do? What commitments do we need to just stop? Say, I gotta step away from this. I gotta separate a good thing for a God thing. What are some of those commitments? Malachi encourages you to come back and surrender the great things, the first things to God. That's a challenge this week. Let's pray together, can we? Father God, thank you so much for your prophet Malachi, and as challenging as he is, as hard as he is, and things that I frankly don't want to hear, it's a wonderful reminder. As we celebrate your Holy Communion this morning, and we recognize the gift of you gave us on that cross, but then you conquered it. You conquered death, and you showed us that you can overcome this world. Help us not to set aside unbelievably extraordinary things that even we may not fully understand. I can't comprehend fully what it means for somebody to come back to life like that. But help me not to make that so ordinary that my worship and my reverence of you becomes stale, that the commitment I made as a follower of you becomes blissful ignorance or secondhand worthy. But God, to lean into even those questions and those things that I don't understand, to say that the miraculous, those amazing things, even the simple idea of a commitment to you, what that means. And God, I'm going to take that to my world around me, to commit to the people around me and the things that I've done. And we understand that sometimes we kind of hurt those relationships. We have done things, we've said things, we've acted in a certain way that have separated and broken us out of that relationship, whatever it is. Help us to make it right. Father, I'm thankful for your grace and your mercy that goes before us long before we mess up. and you were just waiting for us the whole time, understanding that we are not a failure, even when we don't get it right. God, thank you so much for who you are. Be with us this afternoon. Thank you so much for the beautiful day. Help us to go take these ideas that your prophet Malachi gave us and engage in our world around us, that we can represent, we can be set apart in this kingdom of priesthood for you. It's in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.